Good evening to you, and Brother Munchie's on cue. He's on time tonight. We'll get to everybody be like, wow, we get to roll, get home tonight before it gets dark. All right, and I'll try to be quick tonight. Proverbs 25:25 is where we're going to be. You remember a couple years ago, last year, the theme of our conference was this verse. And I done a good job of messing up everything that I did with that, as far as the verse, the putting it on paper wrong, putting it on the banner wrong, putting it on the cards wrong. I don't think I could have messed it up any more than I did. But, you live and you learn some things as you go along. And if you ever do anything, you're going to fail at some things. You're not going to be perfect at all, and God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to give some effort, and I think if I've learned anything from that verse, that's one of the things that I've learned from this verse here, and probably one of the things that I remember, and I probably said it to some, is the first time that I ever really got introduced to the verse. I've read over it many a times. But Paul Hamilton was in our Sunday school class. Paul Hamilton's our missionary to Moldova. And he was here, and he was coming through, he and his wife. And he taught a Sunday school lesson on that verse there. And it's just stuck with me for probably the last 12, 13 years now that's been. And it's funny how God will use a missionary or use somebody and use something that they've said over the course of time that will stick with you to help you remember them, just to pray for them. And every time I come across that, every month that I read that chapter of Proverbs, not that I don't pray for him on the day, but I definitely pray for him on the 25th of every month. I remember to pray for Brother Paul, pray for his mission work there and the things that he does. And a lot of souls have been saved in Moldova over the course of the years because of his work, and because he had a desire to go to the Moldovan people that are there and those that need the gospel. And as we look at this verse, we'll read it. The Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we've been able to experience over the course of last week and, Lord, starting this week. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and, Lord, our soul, and let us see your love for us. And, God, you've been so good to us. And I've just experienced over the course of this past week how good you've been to me. Now, I pray that we would just get a glimpse of that, God, and have a stronger desire to serve the one who loved us. It's in Jesus' name I make my prayer tonight. Amen. A wonderful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in this verse. Since the word gospel means the good news. God's good news came to all men, and we're able to partake of that. And what I want you to look at tonight in that verse is the adjectives, the descriptive language that's there that's used with each of the subject matters that are in the verse. Cold is used to describe the water. Thirsty is used to describe the soul. Good used to describe the news. And far used to describe the country that he's talking about in that verse. You know, you need water for the soul and news from a country, but without some specifics, you aren't going to get what you really need. And we see and we read in Psalm 63, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We need some things to sustain us. I was thinking about it, and I thought as my days when I first started at WMU and I worked in the ditch, and we'd have water leaks, and Riley knows a little bit what I'm talking about. I know James knows what I'm talking about. But there was nothing better in the summertime, and we didn't get many of them, than a good water leak. You liked a water leak because you got to a water leak and you got down on, you wanted to be the guy that was in the hole at all times. Now, everybody likes to stand and hold the shovel, but I wasn't the guy that liked to stand and hold the shovel. I wanted to be down in the hole where the work was, because when you got to where the leak was, the water was going to spray you in the face. If it was a nice hot day, it was nothing better than getting sprayed in the face by that cool, refreshing water. And I wanted to be the one in the ditch putting the clamp on the line, doing the work that was there to be done. And you say, well, you're crazy. No, I wasn't crazy. I enjoyed it. Because I'll tell you the other reason. Just as much as it was cool and refreshing in the summertime, it was that much better in the wintertime, because all the guys that wanted to stand out on the side of the bank and watch somebody else down in the hole work, that water filling up and coming up to your waist, guess what? That water was above freezing. Everybody else is standing out there, and it may be 5-10 degrees. And they're just freezing and they're shivering in their boots. Guess what? I'm down in the water and I'm staying warm because I'm in the water. The water was sustaining me and sustaining the body temperature. So God can use it. And I'm just going to say, you need the water tonight. You need the water of the Word of God. And it can go both ways, but you need God's water tonight. And I think the problem that we have here, you need cold water for a thirsty soul. I think our problem tonight, well, some of the things is we don't have a thirsty soul anymore. We're not thirsty for the things that are of God anymore. We're not thirsty for the things that God wants us to be thirsty for. And the reason you don't get thirsty, and the reason that we don't, is because we're not busy. You know what? You need something thirsty and cold, what? After you've done something. Most people that are sitting around not doing nothing, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of them are. They're probably sipping on something. But aside from that, you need a thirsty or a cold drink of something when you've done something, when you've been busy. And your soul tonight should be thirsty for the things that are of God. And we've lost, some of us have lost our thirst. And I'll have to admit, over the past few years, I've lost some of my thirst for the things that are of God. And we all would have to admit that in some instance or some form or some fashion. We don't have that thirst. This past week has given me a thirst for the souls of men again, a thirst for the things that are of God, a thirst to give to those that want to go do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to develop a thirst for the things that are of God. Now, you look at it, James tells us what? To be doers of the word and not hearers only. When you get busy and get doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get a thirst for the things that are of God, and His water will quench that thirst that's there. God will give you a peace. He'll give you some happiness in your life. I don't know if you could tell this morning, but when I walked in the doors this morning, I was in a good mood. I was enjoying the things that were of God. And you can tell when somebody, their soul is in the right place, they're serving God, they got a smile on their face. It doesn't matter who walks up to them, whether it's their worst enemy, the one they don't like, the one they don't want to talk to. God gives them something and they're able to move through, and He gives them that drink and He quenches that thirst that they have in their soul. That's the way we ought to try to live our lives, having that thirst, always thirsting for the things that are of God. Lukewarm, ambient temperature, like the world, it doesn't have the same impact that the cold waters have, and it doesn't have that impact. The woman at the well in John 4, she had a thirst for the things that were of God. She asked the questions. She wanted to have everlasting life, have that what Jesus had taught her. There were three pieces to that puzzle that were in that story there that needed to be put together. You had a well, you had water, and you had the woman. And from the physical perspective, we understand what had to happen for the woman to fulfill the physical thirst that she had. You had those same three pieces in the spiritual perspective as well. God the Father is the well. Jesus Christ, the water, and you have the woman. That's the three pieces that had to fill the spiritual perspective that was there for her. All she needed to meet her spiritual thirst moving forward could be found in the well that would never run dry. He said it in verse 14, but so whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. That's the water that we ought to desire, folks. That's the water that you need. That's the water that you ought to thirst for tonight. You're saved tonight, and you claim the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You ought to thirst for that living water. You've tasted of the goodness of God. You know that He's good. The Bible teaches us, taste of the Lord and know that He is good, how gracious He is to us. I was just telling Brother Brad how good God has been to me this week and showing me just the practical things of life that we have. We sit on our laurels in air-conditioned rooms, the things that we have, the vehicles that we have, the clothes that we have, the things that we enjoy in life that we take for granted on a daily basis. And God has been so good to us. And we just lose our thirst. Because boy, when ain't nothing like drinking a good cold L8 for most of us. And man, we like that good cold L8. And we get you. What if you didn't have some of those things that God has given you? What if you didn't weren't afforded the opportunities? You'd be thirsting for some of the things of God. You want to know why these people that live in other countries that Katie and the other missionaries are going to? Because they got a thirst for the things that are of God. There's nothing else there from the world to gain their attention. They're thirsty because they know that God, they have to depend on God on a daily basis to meet your needs. Most of us tonight, we don't have to go home and say a prayer. We won't say, a lot of us won't say a prayer because we just expect tomorrow we're going to get up and it's going to be like it was the day before. That's exactly the way we live our lives. And it's a shame that we live that way. I live that way. And we ought not lose that thirst. Because God surely provideth, but He can take it away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God can take it all away in the snap of a finger. One might not be here. You might not have that loved one sitting beside you tomorrow. You might not have that home that you've got. I don't depend on the government. I don't care what the government does. I'm going to care. I'm going to thirst for the things that are of God tonight. That's where my focus needs to be. God will put all those other things into place for us. Having a thirsty soul and letting God's water meet the need. Revelation 21:6, He said, I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. God will give that. It's up to you. It's up to me to tap into the well. We expect God to do it. God wants to do it, but God wants us to come unto Him. He wants us to draw nigh unto Him. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 3. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, something else that really bothers me, and it just overly bothers me in general, is people have no compassion. Nobody sheds a tear anymore. Nobody. And I get up here and this morning in Sunday school, just thinking about the opportunities that God gives us, the opportunity that He gave me yesterday in being with my father and doing some of the things that I got to do. Jimmy can't be with his dad. I mean, you look at some of those things and we take them for granted. And we don't shed no tears for the souls of men. When was the last time you got on a bended knee and cried over somebody? Cried over your pastor, cried over your church, wanting it to be better, wanting things to be better, wanting God to bless it, having a thirst for the things that God wants you to have in your life. When was the last time you shed a tear? He talks about that in that verse. My tears, I shed those continually. Lord, bring back some compassion to my heart so that I've got a compassion for the people around me. You got to have a develop a thirst for something before it can be quenched. God can quench those things in your life. And the world, it'll quench your thirst temporarily. There's a temporary quenching there. There's pleasure in sin for a season. You'll enjoy it for a while, but you'll not have the peace that God can give. There's only the peace that God can give when you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. Kim can't give me that peace. Andrew can't give me that peace. Pastor Muncy can't give me that peace. But I tell you who can give me that peace. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. When I get on my knees at night and when I put my head on that pillow knowing that I've done what God wants me to do, that's the peace that I can get. And some of us are not living in that peace. Some of us are living in that turmoil this evening. You're in turmoil tonight. Your heart's not where it needs to be. You're in a backslidden condition. And the Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. You're living in your ways tonight. And for a season, you're going to get by with it. You're going to have some happiness for a few days, for a month or two, maybe even for a year or two. But I tell you what, the walls will all come crumbling down at some point in time. They will. And God has shown me that more than once. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, one of my favorite verses, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." It's Christ's love that constrains you to do the things that you ought to do. Christ constrains me. The love that He had for me and the love that I have for Him, that's what constrains me. That's what constrains me to be a good husband. That's what constrains me to be a father. That's what constrains me to be a good son. It's because of Christ's love for me and for what He did for me. That's what ought to constrain us to serve Him. The whole context of that passage there in 2 Corinthians is about a new creature in Jesus Christ. We often hear 2 Corinthians 5:17 quoted talking about, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's great. But there's a constraining love for Christ that keeps our soul thirsty for the things that are of God. That's what keeps you thirsty, folks. Staying busy. Wanting to do more for God for what He's done for you. For the souls of men, for the knowledge of His Word, for the work that He has called us to do. This past few years, I tell you, I've had a real struggle in my Bible reading. Because probably 4 or 5 years ago, I made my mind up how I was going to read my Bible and my Proverbs and my Psalms and my texts during the course of a day. And I failed God. I got lax. I read it. But I just didn't have the desire, the thirst for it. And you get to where a point sometimes you're just reading through it and doing it because it's the right thing to do. And man, it just bothered me for months. And I was like, God, give me that thirst that I had. Let me learn some more that I don't know. And I'm not gaining any more understanding of Your Word. Help me, God. Give me that thirst that I once had to understand the Word of God. There are many constraints in this life, but the one constraint that should exceed anything else in our lives is the constraining love that Jesus has over us. It should guide every aspect of the days that we live upon this earth. Now notice the comparison in the verse that we're in there. He likened cold waters to a thirsty soul. Two, good news from a far country. You know, I heard Brother Siler say it this past week. It's only good if they hear it. It's only good news if they get the good news. It's only good news if we tell that one that we meet the good news. It's only good news if we hand out the tract ourselves and give it to that one that needs it. And God convicted me about that this week. I walked out of City Hall every day I walked out. God put somebody in my way every day that I walked out of City Hall this past week. And I'll be daggone, I had the tracts full in my pockets and I was passing them out as I was going. And I don't know what's going to end up with them. I care. But at the end of the day, I care that I did what God wanted me to do. And having a conviction about doing it. That's where the thirst comes in. Wanting to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, nobody likes bad news. I sure don't like bad news. And I pretty much get bad news all day long when I'm at work. There ain't nobody coming to me telling me everything's great. It's bad all the time. And Kim wonders why I just like silence when I get home. I don't want nothing on. I just want to go. And Brian knows what I'm talking about. You don't want to answer a phone. You don't want to talk to nobody. You get tired of being bombarded with trouble all day long. And I know I get paid for it. I know that's my job. But at the end of the day, it's tough. And you've got to, you know, they say you got to thicken up and put some tough skin on. But man, your skin, the armor gets worn down every once in a while. And the only thing that keeps me going is God's word. I would have quit a long time ago if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus Christ giving me some compassion on some people. Because I tell you, we live in amongst some idiots. I just tell you that right now. This is live too, ain't it? Oh, not all of you are idiots, but there's a few of us that are still. You got it? Thank you, brother. But people want to hear, they want to hear from someone, and they want to hear about something a lot of times. Oh, we like news. We want to tell the news that is in our life. It's our makeup as human beings. We want to tell. We have a desire to tell somebody something, what's going on in our lives. John 10:11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In John 10:14, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. He didn't say that he was just the shepherd. He said he was the good shepherd. And you look at, it's the good news. It's not just news, folks. It's good news. And the gospel is good news. And that's what the point I'm trying to make here. God doesn't just put words in the Bible. He doesn't just put, it's not just happen chance that they're there. They're there for a purpose. Proverbs chapter 7, if you want to flip over there for a second, you can. We'll look at a little piece of scripture here. And I'm getting close to the end for some of you that are ready to go home. In verse 19, you drop, if you know about the context of this proverb right here, you know that you've got the adulterous woman here and the man's going to be taken, in adultery. But in verse 19, he says, as you get down to the end, he said, for the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. And the good man here, that if you relate this biblically, the good man has gone on a long journey. It's the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken up and he's out here for a while. God ascended and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight. He's making intercession for you and I. But I want you to read through the rest of it and go with me on this. Verse 20, he had taken a bag of money with him and he will come home at the day appointed. You know what? Hebrews 9:27 says there is appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. The Lord's coming back at the day appointed. And he's going to come back. And like I said, you can be in sin for a season. You can be playing and meddling around in the world and doing the things you want to do. But there is an appointment that's coming and an appointment that you're going to keep. And that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say in verse 20. In 21, he says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattening of her lips. She forced him. He goeth, He made the choice. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird that hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that is for his life. Now, you get the picture that it be not deceived, whatsoever man soweth that shall he also reap. All those things come. But every man is going to, there's an expected end. And you will pay the consequences, whether here or at the judgment seat, if you're saved, for the sins that you've committed in this body. You will give an answer for them. Okay? You'll give an answer for the things. Now, God wipes away all our sins. I understand that. He gives forgiveness. But if you've not confessed those sins and got those things right, then you're going to give an account for those things that you've not done in this life. But he says, till a dart strike through his liver. And I was like, why not his heart? Why didn't it strike him in the heart? The liver filters the blood coming from the digestive tract before passing it to the rest of the body. Now, I'm sure Dahlia could probably give you a lot more than I could about the body parts and their functions and some other. But that tells me enough to know right there that basically, without that filter, your entire body is contaminated. That sin contaminates your body, folks. And sin brings about forth what? Death. So what I'm trying to say to you here tonight is the fact that the good man is gone away. He's gone on a long journey. He's coming from a far country, but he is coming back. And it's time for you and I to get our things in order and be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, and not be like this man right here waiting for the dart to strike us in the liver and be contaminated with the things that are of the world. The Bible teaches us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, a lot of us have got our love in the world tonight, in the things that are of the world. Now, I like some things, but I tell you what, I don't love the things that are, I love the things that are of Jesus Christ. And I just said the love of Christ constraineth me and constrains me to do those. Inevitably here, the good news wasn't accepted from the good man in this story. Because in verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Tonight, the good news is from a far country. We heard about good news all week about the things that are going on in all these other countries. A country that we're only able to read about in this book right here will we see. We can picture what it'll be like from reading John 14, Revelation, Genesis, Ezekiel, all the other various books. But experiencing it remains to be seen. But by faith, I believe that God has prepared that place for me. I believe that tonight. I believe it with all my heart. The God that created this world and this universe that I live in today, He has created something far better than where I'm at today for me to be at some point. I know that, but I'm just as sure as that as I'm standing here tonight that He's promised me that in that book. I believe that book from cover to cover tonight. I've read it enough to know that God is not a liar, and God is, He has committed those things unto me. He's promised me those things, and I accept His promises, and I've failed in my promises to Him. I need to be a little bit more thirsty for the things that are of God. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it's a tree of life. There's a little deferment right now, but I tell you what, when desire comes, it's a tree of life for those that love the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:19, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's what I'm looking forward to. There's so much more to what we've got here, folks. And I tell you, we don't have the thirst like we once have. I'm just honest with you tonight. I'm being honest as I can be. I don't have the thirst that I once had. And I pray that God would give me that thirst that I need, and that He would provide the cold waters for that thirsty soul. There's good news that we've got to get out. It's up to you and I to get the good news out to those that need it. God didn't lay it on anybody else but the church, on us as saved believers. And I pray that we would do what God has called us to do as we stand to our feet.